I think I failed to mention in the introduction that Chris has a divinity degree. I think I should have mentioned it before.
It haunts me every day.
He likes Blade Runner.
Yeah, he likes Blade Runner. I have a number of questions that I would love to ask, but I'm guessing that there's a lot of interest in the audience, and so in the interest of keeping time, I'll throw it open. Sir? The first question dealt with how do you deal with the traffic. As you build so much density on the transit system, how do you accommodate the ridership, essentially? And then the second one was a comment about 30-year-old, 40-year-old plans for Sunnyside Yards under the UDC. And the idea, I mean, so it's not that we've never thought about integrating transit investment and urban development here in New York, but those plans have lain fallow for 30 years. What's happening with that now? Lee, I'll let you tackle that second after Thomas.
And I'd like to add to that question to that too, because when you look at this broader vision, whether it's developing a Sunnyside or ways in which you might redevelop Co-op City, you know, it's not as if we haven't had some fairly significant development outside. What came to mind was, in addition to Sunnyside, you have Starrett City, Co-op City, Lefrak City, and so forth. My question would be to add to the gentleman's question for MTR. What's the collaboration between the other governmental agencies? Because while, you know, clearly you indicated that you purchased the land, how do the other governmental functions in terms of planning come together, so it is a holistic vision, not a piece, because at the end of the day, transit is just a piece, very important piece, critical piece, so I'm just curious about that. Again, in terms of, you know, this disconnect, I mean, Sunnyside has been talked about for the last 20, 30 years. I remember coming into government, Claire Shulman putting out her vision for Long Island City. I know I looked at it 5-10 years ago. I know we've looked at it. I will note institutionally that Amtrak, you know, owns that land, and so kind of my reaction is, when is the market going to catch up to Sunnyside? I have been very interested in the discussions if we were to locate parts of a convention center out to Sunnyside. For those of you not familiar with Sunnyside, it is an amazing location from a transportation standpoint. I would go back to what Chris said, which is when the vision, when our society, when our culture really is ready to embrace that, so it won't be hard to convince corporate CEOs to have their convention in Long Island City or to move their front office there and so forth. There's no question that we have the capability to match in a way that we didn't perhaps 30, 40 years ago, certainly Co-op City, where there's no connection other than bus, although with East Side Access and development Penn Station. One of the things we put forward in that vision that we did in March was to, for the first time, have Metro North service from Co-op City, from Parkchester into both Penn Station and to East Side Access, to Penn Station and into GCT. So that's my quick comment.
Okay. Yes, just in response to your first questions, when we first designed the capacity of the rolling stocks of the railway systems, we have already had in mind that what developments will be building right above railway stations and the adjacent developments. So when the developments and railways are completed, it is enough to take on all these riderships or take on all these passengers. In the peak area, we can carry, you know, tens of thousands of people per hour, actually. So actually, we have one example that is done by our previous sister company, Kowloon Canton Railway. They built the West Rail, what they call the West Rail. They just built the railway, and they forgot to build the developments right above the railway stations. And in the end, they haven't got enough ridership, and have the railway line, that piece of railway line was running at a loss. So I think in Hong Kong, property and railway is complementing with each other. The property needs railway to bring people to property, and the railway needs property to increase the ridership, to increase the passengers.
Can I follow up on that? Are you finding yourself hitting capacity at any parts in your system? Because I do think that that's a critical issue that we're finding. Anyone who's ridden the Lex or the 7 line or stood from Trenton to to Penn Station knows we're finding ourselves across the board having capacity issues. And if you haven't yet, how far out do you think you have?
So far, we haven't had this problem yet. But when we think that, say, several years or so many years down the road, that we see that the whole system is at capacity, then we have to build extensions, more railway lines to dilute the passengers away from.
In terms of clarifying my question to you, were we to, let's say, change this, and let's say our society evolved in terms of density and our supportiveness of it, and as an institution, public transportation agencies were authorized to do that, and so we were to find these locations outside our urban core, whether it's Sunnyside, whether it's something analogous to Co-op City, and locations such as that. And we've had very conceptual discussions as you talk about Plan 2030 in terms of Brooklyn and Queens and so forth. We have very intense interactions with local community boards. The mayor of the city of New York has his power through the City Planning Commission. It's a city planning commission, if you will, where the mayor has a very dominant voice in terms of his chairperson for the City Planning Commission. How do you, just to clarify the question I asked earlier, how do you as an entity relate to these other planning institutions within Hong Kong? How do you get the green light to do this? You just go in there and say, I'm here, and it happens?
Well, yeah. We actually, the MTR Corporation is almost the coordinator or the champion of this type of development. But we must work in collaboration with what we call the Town Planning Board, the Town Planning Department. This is a single Town Planning Board. It is a body established under legislation, chaired by the independent board members. We have to agree with government and the Town Planning Board what sort of developments we should be allowed above the railway stations and how it should be planned. The whole master layout plans have to be agreed with government and by the Town Planning Board before we can start carving out those master layout plans into different land parcels and offer it out for tender.
That sounds analogous to how we relate to the City of New York and development of the West Side Yards. Although it's a different permutation. Part of our problem, obviously, is that we don't just operate in the five boroughs, although there are many opportunities there. It's when you get past that we have different political structures.
Right. But in Hong Kong, there's only one single town planning board, which deals with all the planning problems, including the traffic, drainage, everything.
You're making us even more jealous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alice Lepre, and I'm going to ask my question, but first I need this one answered. Maybe Chris could tell me. Does Port Authority own AirTrans?
Yes.
It is yours?
Yes.
Well, and when the MTA runs subways under the ground, do they own the underground rights, or do they borrow the rights to run that train under the city from the city?
You're talking about underground?
Yeah, the subway.
Gives us no right other than where our stations are.
So, Chris, how far-fetched would it be if the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey took over the MTA?
Okay, Leah, I'm going to just answer this question carefully. I'm not saying that the Port Authority should take over the MTA, but I do think if you look at the integrated model that Hong Kong went to, when you had two different systems and you had the phenomenal growth on both sides of Victoria Harbor, the connectivity and interoperability mandated that those two systems finally merge. When I talk about the Port Authority and where our small part of the mass transit system is, that is PATH, which connects New Jersey Transit to the MTA, I think this region inevitably will face sometime in the future a consolidation of our mass transit system into some form of uniform interoperability capacity so that a truly seamless ride amongst all the systems is achieved. What that would be is not necessarily the Port Authority, but I think Lee has even begun starting talking about interoperability between MTA.
Take it yet?
Between the MDA and New Jersey Transit. So I think following the Hong Kong model, particularly with suburban growth and the like, we will be there at some point. Whether it's the Port Authority or not, I'm not going to say.
Now it's your turn. Doing it, by the
way. I was about to say to Chris that he can have the MTA. but to
can I just come back to one other thing?
It's amazing the way we can, the cross-cultural communication and how slight it can be and understanding what we just heard. When you were describing the park and the integration of the town planning, where you have water and sewer, stormwater runoff, you have the environmental siting of taking harbor bottom, that you have landfill to build new structures on top, that you have a financing mechanism that builds a train and then a platform built on the return of the land. I look around this room right now and we all must recognize that the simple complexity of building something in the water today in New York is virtually impossible for a variety of political and environmental reasons, and I'm not going to judge whatever they may be, but I will give you one level of the difference between Hong Kong and New York, and she's here. Ann Buttonweiser, who's here in the audience, which I have to tell this story, has built a floating barge. That floating barge needs to be harbored during the winter season because you don't want to swim in the winter season. In order to protect the aquatic wildlife of the New York Harbor, the New York State DEC will not allow that barge to be docked in New York State waters, casting a shadow on the river bottom. So that barge is now in New Jersey. So there is a fundamental level of question of what is our ecological environmental sustainability planning if that which is Hong Kong achieving in terms of reducing emissions, you know, cutting down on the amount of cars that are driving, building the kind of density, building a sustainable model, are we in fact really thinking in a truly integrated way that would allow you to look at developments in, around, or even on the water? Sorry, Ann.
Let me also say, I think that Chris is absolutely correct in terms of institutionally, as this evolves, there will have to be a maturation, probably a change of institutional orientation in terms of who operates what and so forth. I think there's no question about that. It's interesting, historically, obviously Chris can speak to it more because it's about the Port Authority, but I know that some of the accepted wisdom or perspectives of August Tobin, who Tom mentioned in the beginning, was that the Port Authority needed to find money-making stuff, and that there was certainly historically an orientation toward avoiding transit because it was a money loser. Now, obviously, you put this paradigm in where it makes money, that may have some impact. But there's an issue in terms of not just, you know, whether it's MTA, Port Authority, in terms of basic organizational cultural ethos, in terms of how we take on projects, how we feel about them, and so forth. So that's certainly a good point. And I also do want to echo what Chris said about interoperability. One of the challenges that Chris has in leading our Penn Station exercise is that it is so constrained. And our view of it is that what you really need to do is begin to look at the MTA, Metro North, Long Island Railroad, New Jersey Transit, and to some extent Amtrak, seamlessly. We're trying to, we've made progress, I've announced previously, and it looks very good in terms of the progress we're making, to have Metro North, New Jersey Transit trains running as single operation, New Jersey Transit train with Metro North crews out to the Meadowlands by next August as the first piece of interoperability. But there is no question that we need to be thinking along those lines, just one of the many axes that we need to be thinking about in this context.
Thank you. One more.
Sum up.
Okay, we could keep going for a long time, but we are behind schedule and we have another wonderful panel. So I'll ask each of the panelists to give one last comment, and Thomas asked. Yeah.
Okay. One thing I haven't highlighted in my slide presentation is that this model is now actually subject to a political challenge in Hong Kong. Although we feel that it is a successful model, yeah, many politicians think that government shouldn't continue to grant land like this to us. Before year 2000, when we were still a company 100% owned by government, people still see us as one of the government bodies. But after year 2000, when after the IPO, people consider us as a commercial company, and the government shouldn't continue to grant land to us because they fear that we'll compete with the developers. Although we argue that we've never competed with the developers, we're just as the champion, just a coordinator, and eventually after we have put all the raw materials into a semi-finished product, we put the land parcels out to the developers for tendering, but they don't seem to accept this argument. So in the next few years, you may not see many more of this business model in Hong Kong.
Uh-oh. Now he tells us.
Yeah, now he tells us. Buddy, a dollar short here today. I'll just end with one project. When you think of all of what Hong Kong was able to do, there is a question of what will happen in Jamaica and Jamaica Center, that if you look at the aviation development, you look at a new downtown, you look at the Long Island Railroad, you look at AirTrain connecting to Kennedy Airport, in some small way, in some very small way, that might be a chance to capture the lessons learned that Hong Kong's provided today.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm just looking at how we move in the future in the conversation of sustainability, energy, and how our society moves towards density. And I think, maybe just repeating myself, I think that if our society embraces this as a vision in terms of the institutional capability, instruments to do it, I think we have the ability to do it. It's more a matter of the broader social conversation, and I think this is a very important contribution to that conversation in terms of, do we as a society, do we as a city, do we as a region, you know, want to move in this direction? I think we do. A lot of work that has to be done with all the institutional borders and what have you. There's nice progress being made, and then we'll see where it goes.
I'll just quickly close. I think I had the easiest time this morning moderating a panel of people who will ask the tough questions of themselves, and reveal what they think of the strengths and the weaknesses of their models. We've looked at three different institutional structures here, and evolving ones at the same time. And I think that there are enormous lessons that can be learned as we think about this kind of putting the private and the public-private partnership, maybe. And the ways along that route. At RPA in the third regional plan in 96, we had one requirement for every single recommendation we put in the plan, which is that we needed to be able to point to some other region in the world that was doing what we talked about. If we were going to talk about a certain kind of transit investment, a kind of community development, open space preservation, we felt we needed to be able to identify a place that was doing it. And I think that as we talk, and it's not so secret that we're really interested in seeing the Port Authority and the MTA here think about these development models and think about these value recapture models and think about this relationship as under this capable leadership they evolve. And so it's wonderful to have this MTR model here to kick around and talk about this afternoon. And I want to thank Thomas so much for joining us, and Chris and Lee for a wonderful panel. And I will turn it back to Carol for the second piece. Thank you very much.